We are in this series. This is the last week of this series, Noise Canceling. How do we pay attention to God in the midst of all the things that come at us, all the messages that come at us, all the influences that are around us? How do we actually listen to God? And can we hear from God? So we're going to dive into that today. I want to make sure that you, you're part of our service next week. This is so much fun to gather for worship outside. Last time we did this, we had to like call the guys in from playing Frisbee before. There's people playing Frisbee and just hanging out. And we gathered and we worshiped together. And then we did what we were really good at. We ate together, and that's our specialty, you know, and it's just good to be together, both campuses and on both services on this one, and just everybody there. And so I want you to be a part of that, and then and be a part of VBS. You know, that's a way that hundreds of kids from our community are here on our campus, and we get to point them to Jesus and connect with those families. And I want you to be a part of that as well. So make sure you're part of those things in the life of the church and these coming up in these next few weeks. It really is an exciting time to be the church. We're gonna dive into the scripture together. I want to pray for us. Would you pray with me? God, meet us in your word. You've given us the scripture. And we pray that you would speak to us. Help us understand it. Oh, help it to grab hold of our hearts and our minds. And then, God, we want to actually put it into practice. We want to do what your word says. And so would you make that happen in our hearts and in our lives? And we pray this in your name. Amen. So a few weeks back, we started this series, and we talked about how we have to create space for God. This was Joey brought this to us. We have to actually create space if we're going to hear from God. That's not the natural pattern of our life. We're full of so much busyness and things just coming at us. And if we don't create space for God, we won't hear from God. If we want to hear from God, we got to make that happen in our lives. And then we talked about how God sometimes does speak to us in that sort of still small voice. That God does give those whispers. And how do we handle that? What do we do? We talked about that as well. God does still speak, and you may not have a burning bush, but there are this still small voice that often speaks to us, and that God is alive and involved in our lives. And then last week, Pastor Diana talked to us about how God sometimes speaks through the people he puts around us. That sometimes it's the people that are around us that God uses the Holy Spirit to actually speak wisdom to us, and that we need to be able to hear that. And today we're going to look at how God speaks to us in Scripture. That God would actually, how God actually meets us in the Word that He gives us. I had a professor when I first got to seminary, an Old Testament professor, and he would he had a really floppy Bible and a really cool accent, and it was a sort of thick, I don't know what he was, South Carolina, Virginia, whatever kind of accent, and I remember that first lecture. I've talked about this before. That first lecture is he talked all about different parts of the Old Testament, and then he was talking about how in the broken times of life, in the difficult times of life, and he talked about a loss that he had experienced in his life, and it was at that time that Scripture actually grounded him. And I just remember, because he had the floppy Bible and he held it up and he goes, "This is the Word of God," right? "It's the Word of God, and it's all we've got." Oh, I love that, man. I remember that lecture and his reverence for the Scripture, that God would meet us in that. But sometimes the distance between God's word and my reverence for it, my actually reading it and understanding it, is quite a big difference, you know. And I remember as a teenager, I was being told by, you know, my youth pastors and people that were around me, I should be reading Scripture, and I would try. You know, I would start start reading and I would get to, you know, some place and it was this person begot that person, begot this person, begot that person, begot this person, begot that person. First of all, I can't read any of the names. Second of all, don't know what the word begot means, right? And your eyes roll back and how do you plow through this? And how in the world does this matter to my life? And you go on, you get to another section. This person's not allowed in the temple and that person's not allowed in the temple and this person has a disease and that disease is not allowed in the temple and this person, and you're like, oh, why do I care about the diseases and who got to be in the temple or not in the temple or, you know, and so often I would start trying to read scripture and just get bogged down and totally shut down with it. And so I have this kind of sense that I'm supposed to have this reverence for it, but often the practicality of learning scripture is difficult. Or I actually will listen for scripture, and I don't, you know, maybe I'm reading it, but maybe I'm just listening around for other people giving me little verses, something I see online or whatever. But I'm often listening for the scripture I want to hear, right? So you say, well, God speaks through scripture. Yeah, and he tells me the things I like to hear because that's those are the things that I'm looking for. For instance, whenever Cammy and I get in an argument, Proverbs 27:15 often comes to mind. God speaks to me. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping, leaky roof in the rain. See, that's a good, and I just go, sweetheart, it's biblical. It's scripture. It's God's word, you know. And I don't say that out loud. You guys know that, right? That's just in my head how that goes down. Or Proverbs 21:9, better to live in the desert than with a nagging wife, right? And she's like, well, try the desert, buddy. Try the desert. See how that goes, you know. Now, I'm often listening, way out of context, not to, you know, all that. I'm just listening for the words I want to hear. I'm sort of storing them up for a good argument, you know. But so what do we mean when we say scripture is God's word and it speaks to us? And then how do we actually listen to that? How do we do that well? How do we hear from God in that? I want to open today together from a book called 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. We're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14. Paul is this apostle who planted many churches, from Antioch, the church begins to spread, and it spreads to all kinds of people, and Paul is the leading voice in that. He's the apostle that's making that happen, and Paul has this great authority, and he's a great pastor, and he's a great leader, and he has a young man who he's trained to be a pastor named Timothy. And he's training Timothy to be a leader in the church and to be a pastor. And we get to listen in on the conversation that Paul has with this young leader. And it's about how to be a pastor. And it's about how to do ministry, but it's about more than that. It's about how to actually live life in the way of Christ under pressure. And that's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Now, Paul is sort of at the end of his run in ministry. He's in Rome. That's going to be the last place that he lives. 2 Timothy, that's the last letter that he's going to write to Timothy. And this is the one where he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. And he says, but I've run a good race. I fought a good fight. He knows he's close to the end, and he's giving this wisdom to Timothy. He's giving him marching orders. He's giving him sort of the instructions that he's like, this is how you live this thing out. And so it's with that we pick up in verse 14. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Timothy has to face the pressures of false teachers. Timothy has to face the pressures of people saying, hey, your decision isn't the right decision. You should go a different direction. Timothy is under this extreme pressure. And Paul writes to him and says, when you're under this pressure, the anchor that you have, The place that you turn is a scripture. Paul reminds him actually of two things. Paul says, remember when we laid hands on you and we ordained you for this position, to your into your calling. You have this pastoral authority, he says, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And he reminds him that you have the Holy Spirit in you. But he knows that ordination, that sense that the Holy Spirit is in, isn't going to be enough for the things that he's going to face, the pressure that he's going to face all around him. And so he says, remember, you have this Holy Scripture. He says the scripture all points to Christ. That's why he says all the scripture. Old Testament is mostly what they would have been dealing with at the time, although the letters are starting to circulate, like Paul's letter, and that will become our scripture. And then the stories that are going to be written down as the gospels are being told all around. And so the scripture is starting to come together of the New Testament, but even the Old Testament, he says, points to Christ. That whole story is the story of who Christ is. And if you look at who Christ is, you figure out how to live and what decisions that you need to make. And so he says this whole story is God's, and it's for you, and it's your anchor. And he says it's good for correction, it's good for training, it's good for rebuke, it's good for teaching. He says this is what you're going to need to land on. Now, there's this other part in here that I don't want you to miss. And it's really important to the whole church for thousands of years. It's what he says about the scripture. He reminds Timothy that the scripture is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. Now, you may have heard that in Latin. You don't know it, but you may have heard it in Latin. You may have heard the word inspired. Same thing, right? Inspired, the Spirit of God, that same word is for breath of God, that the Holy Spirit is given so that the guys that write this scripture down are inspired by God's Holy Spirit to write these words. They're inspired. It's God breathed. It is God's word. You know, I often long to hear from God. Like I told you a couple weeks ago, I want that burning bush. You know, I had one. I had a bush catch fire at my house, but nobody spoke out of it, right? There was no voice that came out of the burning bush. But that's what I'm looking for, right? I'm going through life looking. I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear God say, "Cuz," you know. I don't want him to call me on the phone because I think it's spam and I'll send it to the spam thing. But I want him to speak, you know, in this loud booming voice. I want to hear direct from God. And what does Paul tell Timothy? You have. Like, this is as good as a burning bush. That's a miracle. It's insane. It's God's word. He says he's given you his word. You need to anchor in this word. Now, he's going to go on. And in the next chapter, we'll see that he tells Timothy, there will come a time when people will gather around them teachers and influencers that only teach them the things that their ears are itching to hear. There'll come a time when people gather around all kinds of teachers to only teach them the things that their ears are itching to hear. I like that turn of phrase. I've heard that all my life. You know, your ears are itching. You've been itching to hear that or something. And I thought, that's kind of, if you think about it, it's kind of weird. Where does that come from? I don't know, but it goes way back. It's 2,000 years ago. And here's what he's saying. There's going to come a time when people gather around themselves, folks that tell them what they want to hear. I know that's hard for you to imagine that there would come such of a time. Personally, I'm learning a lot about this because there's lots of articles and things written on this. What happens in my life is I'm looking for the things, you know, that I'm interested in or whatever, and that often happens on my phone. So I go through my phone and I click on something I'm interested in. And the magic of the internet says, oh, he's interested in that, right? And it starts to send me whole lots of other things that are just about that. And all of a sudden, all the algorithms are working out there that I don't really understand. But everything starts to tell me the things that I like. Before you know it, I'm surrounding myself with all kinds of stuff coming at me on all kinds of feeds that with people that, you know, they're telling me I'm doing pretty well. And I like that, right? You know, I'm doing all right. right. I'm thinking the right way. The things I'm upset about, they're upset about too. The things the things I'm excited about, the writers of those articles are excited about too. They just keep coming at me. It's amazing, actually, that there would come a time, right, when we gather around us all the influences just telling us the things that we want to hear. Personally, I think it's now. And I like hearing those things. But every once in a while, I'm pretty wrong. And Scripture tells us right here, this is a passage that says, this Scripture, it's an anchor. It's in the middle. There's no algorithm giving it to you. In fact, it's going to tell you some stuff you just don't like. There will be rebuke. There will be correction. There will be stuff that you're like, it tells me the way of Jesus, and I like to hear about the way of Kaz. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I was hoping for. And all of a sudden I hear, no, it's wrong. Every once in a while I get upset with people. None of you, of course. No one in here. And that's never, or on the other campus, none of that. But sometimes a neighbor, you know, I got a neighbor that, and they get a little upset. And I got upset at one the other day, and I thought of a really vindictive thing to do, you know, and I made the mistake of talking about it with Cammie, you know. Other people would hear me and they say, yeah. And I say, hey, pray about this with me and discern. And they come back and they say, yeah, I think that is the way of Jesus, that you would just be a little vindictive because that person is mean, you know. And but Cammie looked at me and she says, I don't think that's the right thing to do, you know. She goes, I don't think you should, for spite, you know, do that to the poor neighbor, and is a fence issue, you know, it's a fence issue. You guys have it. And she goes, I'm not sure that that's what Jesus would do, you know. And I thought, but it's what Kaz wants to do. He says, it's good for, he gives two things that you do here. He says, Scripture is good for training. Right? It's good for training and teaching. It's encouragement. It tells you the way to live. It tells you the way of life. It tells you the way to value things, to understand. If you want to know what to value, you want to know who to value, you want to know how to interact with people, all Scripture leads to Jesus. And you begin to look at the life of Jesus and you go, how did he interact with people? And what are we told in here? And what should we value? What does Jesus value? Who does Jesus value? How does he interact with them? It gives us a way to put our life together, a place to set our values and our priorities and to spend our time and our energy. It leads to life. And then he says it's the opposite. It also gives us the boundaries, right? It gives us that rebuke, correction. And it tells us to do that in a gentle and kind way, but that there should be rebuke and correction. There should be a gentle re-guiding, and sometimes less than gentle and very straightforward. There should be a change. It's a Scripture gives us both of those things. In fact, there are three things I really want you to catch here. The first is that Scripture sets the boundaries for us, right? And we talked about this the last couple weeks. We said, well, sometimes God speaks to us, and he speaks to us in that small whisper. But we can go astray on that. You know, sometimes we hear that whisper and the voice of God sounds an awful lot like our own hearts, you know. And we go, am I hearing from God? Does God want me to buy a boat? And sometimes I hear that. And Scripture gives us the boundaries. Scripture says, this is the way that you should live. Does that look like Jesus? Does that look like the way that Jesus lived? Does it look like the way that Jesus forgave, or the way that Jesus did reconciliation, or the way that Jesus loved? We go, is this in the boundaries? Same thing when we hear from other people and we hear the voice of God and we hear it in other people, we have to go back to the scripture and understand the scripture and go, is this within the word? Does this look like a follower of Jesus? And see, that's an important thing. And the problem is, so often, I don't know. I'm not a good enough studier of Scripture. And what I long for all of us is to be a studier of Scripture so that we know the way and so that we know the boundaries of the way, right? And we miss that if we're not studying Scripture. Now, I get it. There are parts of Scripture, if I just try to slog through there are parts that are difficult. They are difficult to get through. They are difficult to read. They are difficult to understand. And believe it or not, even after seminary, they are difficult to pronounce if you have to do it from this platform, right? And you go, oh, man, I don't want to read that. I try to give that to one of the other staff members, you know. I don't want to read that passage. You know, sometimes it's just hard, and you go, how do I understand this? I want you to know it's worth the effort. And there are all kind of study plans, and there are all kind of reading plans. My encouragement is to read all the way through, but start somewhere. Start somewhere where you can connect. Find a gospel that you can just read, and just go there. Just spend the time to read one gospel and then another. And we have resources. There are resources online. We have a library here. But I would love to help you. If you have a question about how do I understand this, how do I go further, I would love to help you. And our staff, our team, would love to help you find the resources that you need to actually understand the scripture. There are incredible things out there today to give us a perspective that we need, to help us to answer the questions that we have when we read it. And we go, hey, what was that even talking about? And there are plans where it helps guide you through a plan where you're able to kind of focus in on some of the stuff that you go, oh, okay, this makes sense. And you begin to build up an understanding so that you have this sense of boundaries, so that when someone says, hey, I think God might be calling you to this, you can go, that sounds like it's within the boundaries, right? It sounds like it's not outside of the boundaries. Now, Scripture gives us the boundaries if we're listening for the voice of God. But sometimes, God actually speaks to us through Scripture in a very personal way. And what I'm talking about is when you hear a passage and you go, oh, God just grabbed me with that passage. I just heard God speak to me in that. And God does. God helps us to see something in a new light. And sometimes we're reading Scripture, we hear someone talking about Scripture, we see a verse, it just speaks to our situation. And are right where we are. And I want you to know that God, as he inspired people to write this thousands of years ago, he also knew you. And he knew we would be here today gathered around reading this word. And he knew what you would be going through. And God does speak to us through Scripture. But I want you to be careful with it. I want you to be studiers of the word. I'm going to give you an example, and I'm going to ruin one of your favorite verses. Are you okay? Is that what you came to church for today? I'm going to ruin one of your favorites. I'm telling you. It's okay, though. Just hang with me. It's all right. This is a passage that I often will read. I'll read it around kids graduating and they're going off. And I think about this passage. It's one that's spoken to me. Jeremiah 29:11. You've seen it in places. You know, you've seen it emblazoned on placards up on people's walls and stuff. It's a good verse. It does. It speaks to us. This is Jeremiah. He got this word from God, and he said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's good, man. That's a good word. I know the plans I have for you. Now, here's the problem. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He's called the weeping prophet for a reason. His life was tough. As Jeremiah was given the job of being the prophet, the messenger, God's messenger to Israel and to Jerusalem. And he was saying, you got to turn or Jerusalem's going to fall. And as he gave that message, he upset a lot of people. And in one place, the men of Anathoth, they gathered together and they tried to kill him. And he barely escapes death, but it was really difficult. And that was just sort of the start of his ministry. Then a guy named Pashur, who was one of the 10 temple priests had him beaten and thrown into the stocks for public humiliation. After that, as an illustration, God gave him an illustration for the people of Jerusalem and for the people of Israel. He was to build and walk around a yoke. A yoke is something that you put from one oxen to the other so they can plow the field, a big wooden thing. And he was to build that and put it on and walk around, showing that they shouldn't be yoked to Babylon. It's a very good, you know, illustration, but it upset a few people, including a different prophet who attacked him and tore it off of his head. And there's a whole, you know, scene around that. But that was his job, walking around with this giant yoke on. Eventually, King Zebediah allowed Pasher and some others to throw Jeremiah into this giant cistern where they would gather water, down into this giant cistern. And the scripture says as he was thrown down in there, he like sank down into the mud and he was sitting there waiting to starve. And I'm sure that's exactly when he thought of that verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." He was rescued out of the cistern, but they imprisoned him after that. And he stayed in prison until he watched Babylon destroy Jerusalem. His whole life's mission was to try to save Jerusalem by spreading this message, and yet he sat in prison watching Jerusalem be destroyed. That's the verse that he was given. "I know the plans I have for you." But I want you to see the bigger picture, right? It is a deeper picture here. That passage wasn't just for him, but it was also for all of Jerusalem. And it was about what the work that God was going to do and the way that God was going to redeem eventually Israel and Jerusalem and the way that God was going to use Jeremiah. See, God did have a plan for Jeremiah, a big plan for Jeremiah. And he would be part of this bigger piece of redemption, but it wasn't going to be easy. And I read that verse and I say, oh, God has plans for me, plans for everything to go great. That's the way I interpret that verse. Do you guys interpret it the same way? God knows the plans he has for me, perfect plans, not to harm me, meaning nothing's going to go wrong. I doubt I'm going to end up in a cistern, but that's not the story of the guy who actually was given the verse the first time. What I want us to get is this: God does speak to us through Scripture, but be a studier of Scripture. Don't just take a bumper sticker verse and go, hey, that's the old thing. Actually read it. Go read the context. Learn and dive. Because God is giving an incredible message through this verse. But you got to understand the big picture of what God's about and what God's going to do. And if I read this verse and I say, oh, God's speaking to me, everything's going to go smoothly, I'm totally missing the point, right? Just totally missing it. So God gives us Scripture, and Scripture gives us the boundaries. And then sometimes God speaks to us directly through the Scripture. And the last thing is that God gives us Scripture to show us the way of Jesus. It's how to live and what to value. From the big picture questions about just creation and why we got here and what purpose is, all the huge questions, all the way down to really practical things. Like, what do I do with someone that I've got a beef with? How do I work that out? Do I have to? Do I need to seek reconciliation and how? What, real practical. Big philosophical questions. Real practical questions. What do I value? How do I live? See, the Scripture tells us who we are, what our story is, where we're going, the plan that God has even for our future when he'll redeem all things. Now, I was thinking about that professor that says, this is the word of God. And just it's reminding me that the Scripture that we know, that we read and it starts to take hold in our hearts, some of you have memorized tons of Scripture. It's amazing. Because it's these moments, these difficult moments, that those are the things that come up. We start to realize what Paul was telling Timothy: when all the pressure comes, you're going to need something to turn back to anchor yourself on. You know, when I'm in a moment of going just, you know, am I going the right way? I'm just making a mess out of things. I keep making bad decisions and everything seems to be falling apart. Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8 start to come to my mind. Would you say God speaks to you? Yeah. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul says, why is it that I keep doing the things that I don't want to do? I want to serve you, but I keep making terrible choices. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Who will save me from this wretched body that is subject to death? He's like, I'm on the way to death, and I keep helping myself get there, right? Who's going to save me from that? That's chapter 7. And I recognize that in my own self. Chapter 8 says, it's God's Spirit who gives life and has set you free. Chapter 8 is about what it looks like to live life in the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit begins to work in a body of a person who keeps doing the things that he doesn't want to do. It's incredible hope. And at that moment when I'm broken down, when I'm going, everything's going wrong, and that scripture begins to come up, do I hear the voice of God? Yeah, I hear the voice of God. See, God says, we're all broken, and yet the Holy Spirit begins to work in us to redeem us. I hold on to that tightly. Or those moments when I go, is there a purpose in my life? Am I here for something? Am I doing my purpose? Does God care? Does God even notice? Psalm 139 starts to come into my mind. You created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Right? All my days are set before me in your book. And then he goes on to say, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from you? If I go to the far side of the sea, even there, even over there, you're there. And if I go into the depths, your right hand, it holds me fast. See, that's God's word. And it holds on to me and it anchors me. And I remember those words from that professor. See, this is the word of God. And it's all we've got. Would you pray with me? God, you've given me your scripture. May my life be anchored by it. God, may I submit to it, even in places where I don't want to. God, may we do that as a church. May we be directed by your word. May we be studiers of it. And Father, would you speak to us? Because we long to hear your voice. We pray this all in your name. Amen.